It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters. Several listeners this week criticized our coverage of events at the World Trade Organization meetings in Cancun. Typical was this letter from Justin Carinci of Portland, Oregon.
He writes, "Your flash and dash coverage of the World Trade Organization meetings and protests made me wonder if my radio had switched to the AM band. In Mr. Carinci's opinion, listeners were left with the impression that the opposition to the meeting centered on freeing Shamu and suicide. Tell us who the protesters represent and why they're protesting. It's your responsibility to paint as complete a picture as possible. Otherwise, why even cover it?"
My interview with our regular contributor E.J. Dionne about Wesley Clark and the field of presidential candidates upset some listeners. In it, E.J. noted that General Clark's military service would, quote, contrast with President Bush, who was in the National Guard but did not serve in the armed forces, unquote.
"As a 23-year veteran in the National Guard, I take offense," writes Major David Tugdarian. "Every time I look at my military ID, I see Armed Forces of the United States at the top, not just in the National Guard." Major Tugdarian goes on to point out that a great many of the troops serving in Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan are National Guard or reservists.
While we're correcting our mistakes, listeners to some feeds of our program heard us locate a speech by presidential candidate John Edwards in Sioux Falls, Iowa.
This led listener Robert Mulqueen to note, "While the aggressiveness of the cities and counties of northwestern Iowa have been known for years, I have not heard that Lyon County, Iowa, has had the wherewithal to annex Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It should, of course, have been Sioux City, Iowa."
And in a continuing effort to redraw the map of the Midwest, Mr. Mulqueen signs his letter from Des Moines, South Dakota, a place we've been unable to locate in our atlas. Mr. Mulqueen, we suspect you are pulling our leg.
Joe Palka's story about whether Capuchin monkeys have an innate sense of fairness, with its implication that fair play may be part of basic human makeup rather than learned behavior, intrigued many of us.
But Jim Turr in Santa Fe listened last night and made a link that occurred to few of us here. He writes, "Although your broadcast did not make the connection explicitly, it was hard not to connect your story about the monkey experiments, demonstrating that an aversion to unfairness may be hardwired into us, to your story about the stock exchange chairman having to resign. Call it unfairness, call it disgruntlement, call it pay disparity. You don't have to be a Capuchin monkey or an anthropologist to recognize that these greedy and outrageous pay levels stimulate resentment among the rest of us, and rightly so."
Ron Carton had a different perspective. "Today you reported that monkeys have a sense of justice. This, proclaims Mr. Carton, is the principal difference between monkeys and men."
Finally, Rajiv Kinra of Chicago wrote to us about the remarkable similarities between what's happening to magician David Blaine in London and events in John Steinbeck's classic novella Cannery Row. In Cannery Row, writes Mr. Kinra, there is a character, the flagpole skater, who stays up on a platform long enough for the residents of Monterey to talk about him, mock him, shoot at him with air rifles, and pontificate on the philosophical implications of his unique test of human endurance.
Mr. Blaine seems to have elicited a similar response from egg-throwing Londoners, observes Mr. Kinra. Your correspondent sense that all anyone seems to be talking about is how he goes to the loo also echoes Steinbeck's flagpole skater watchers. For those who still want to know how Mr. Blaine resolves his personal hygiene issues, Mr. Kinra suggests the answer can be found in Chapter 19 of Cannery Row.
Well, if you've discovered unexpected literary parallels or simply want to send us your thoughts about something you've heard, email us at atc@npr.org. And please let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.